Welcome, everybody. Tonight, our speaker is from the UK, and the topic for tonight is keeping your cool when your emotions run hot. And we've asked tonight's speaker to speak on a couple of things within that for us. Firstly, how to tame your emotions and cool down when, if by chance, you've lost your cool. How do you then regain it? Find yourself methods to cool down and then tame the raging emotions, if they're raging, or rather active emotions. So that's one thing. The other thing is to be less emotionally reactive. Is that even possible? And particularly when there's a lot of pressure. And things are getting hot around us. How then do we maintain our cool? Our speaker is Meera Javid. Meera is in Berkshire and she works full time as a teaching assistant. So during our lockdown, when we've all been working from home, Meera's been going into work as a key worker, taking care of other key workers. Children, so hasn't had time off on that level, or if you can call what we've had at home time off, I'm not sure we can, but yes, she's been still maintaining her time, her work. So Mira is going to be speaking. She will do a short meditation at the end, and then she will take your questions. We're going to request that you put the questions in the question and answer link in your email. There's a link. Send us your questions through the link, and we will then put those questions to Mira on your behalf. Mira, thank you so much. I'm going to hand over to you and look forward to hearing what you've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you. So good evening, everyone. It's lovely to be here with you this evening. And yes, the subject, I'm sure it's something that affects us all. And I'm sure we felt emotional at times, and maybe I'm still an emotional person, and I feel that I'm not in control of my emotions. So this subject on how to keep cool. Now, I know, I think there's two parts to this subject. One is about tips and suggestions, which certainly I'm going to hope to share with you, and I hope they will be useful. Certainly things I've found useful. But behind tips and suggestions, there's deeper things as well, which I'd like us to look at as well. There's usually a reason for why I may be an angry person. Why I feel very, very emotional and may get overwhelmed. So you might recognize yourself in that right now. So what I'd like us to do first is just take a moment, we'll take a moment together just to reflect by ourselves and just think about things that do get you very, very hot under the collar. Things that really irritate you to the point that you get very, very angry. So I don't want you to start to feel angry, but just think about, what is it? Maybe there's one thing, maybe there's more than one thing in your life, that's constantly there. And just think about what it is. So I want you to think about it in terms of just observing it. Okay, so don't want you to get too much into it, but just as if you're looking at it, as if you're right now going to examine yourself and think, yeah, what is it? What are the things that bother me? So let's just do that together because that would be quite good. So let's just take a moment to reflect there. Okay, so let's come back. So if you feel you want to just put something in the chat, maybe a word or something, feel free to do that. So as I was reflecting, I was thinking of the things sometimes that can make us feel annoyed, and quite angry. So one of the things, for example, can be a feeling of injustice. We often hear that we feel, well, that's not right. Yes, and someone's sharing you. And other people are inconsiderate, so that's another one as well. Or think, well, they're not showing much consideration in this situation. Or I feel that's an injustice. I don't think that should happen. And sometimes we can get very, very annoyed about these things, whether I feel it's an injustice towards me or I see an injustice. In fact, there is a term, isn't there? Righteous anger. You'll have heard that. Righteous anger. All right. When you think about it, really, do the two go together? But it's almost like it's as if it's allowed, that it's okay to get angry if the cause is good enough. So yes, these are some of the things. Also, sometimes I hear people say, well, when I know someone isn't being truthful or is being deceptive. When other people gossip, for example, that can anger people. Or someone's gossiping about you or others, and we don't like that. Now, there is one thing to be aware of when it comes to understanding anger, and that is that there is usually a trigger. So something triggers me to start to feel that uneasiness, and I can feel, my body's reacting. So one of the things about when I begin to feel irritated and I feel angry is that begins to have a reaction in my body almost straight away. And we know that you can correlate, anger with if effects in the body, and particularly affecting my breathing. Even my heart rate can go up, blood pressure can go up, and having bouts of anger actually affects our physical organs. This is now, known that the way in which my physical organs operate, that it's affected, and they can't actually work as well as they should. It hampers your organs. When we get angry or annoyed or emotional, and we feel maybe tears welling up in our eyes, there's like a knot in your stomach. You can even feel that physically. Some people say they feel sick, may start to perspire. So there's this physical reaction that happens straight away, and that simply come by the way I'm feeling about something. So if we want to understand anger and we want to really be able to control anger, and really, if I can, eliminate it completely. We have a course, actually. Maybe some of you have been on it, and if you haven't, do look it up. It's run by the BKs, and it's called Overcoming Anger. So it's not called anger management, which is what we're used to. This is a course which is actually going to teach you how to actually overcome it. And that's a big claim to say that I can deal with anything without getting angry. That would be great, wouldn't it? That no matter what happens, no matter the injustice or the indignity or the inconsideration or the unfairness of it all, I can deal with that without getting angry. So that's where we want to be, actually. How am I going to get there? So this is what we want to know. How can I go from completely heating up to cool down? And there are physical factors, and there are also internal factors to do with my thoughts and feelings. And both of these things are important to look at. So physically, I need to do simple things which I may not be doing. Like, for example, I might just be deficient in vitamins or minerals. A simple thing like that. Low in iron, feeling sluggish. There could be reasons for why I'm irritable. And there could be reasons for why I get upset. It really could be physiological. And so we must look at that as well. So I need to check that, am I looking after myself in terms of vitamins and minerals? Am I drinking enough water? You might think, well, what's that got to do with it? But all of this affects, it can have an effect on how we behave. Am I getting enough sleep? Now, in the way we live in the modern society, it really isn't designed for us to get good sleep. You know, we have 24-hour electricity, and now we have 24/7 media. You can link into anything day and night, and so the natural pattern of you know, unwinding and the brain saying, right, it's time to sleep. That's all, you know, highly affected now. So not having good sleep patterns and not getting enough rest can definitely contribute to my irritability, which therefore can anger me quicker. So let's not overlook physical aspects. Very, very important to check that. Sometimes it's just a question of change in diet. In fact, you know, I noticed that with myself. I really was feeling quite irritable in my body for some time and itching and, you know, restless and just didn't feel right. And I even had aches and pains. And then I made some changes in my diet. And when I made those changes in my diet, it was just like, oh my goodness, like everything calmed down. And I realized, that it was to do with food. It was to do with food and drink. And when I made those changes, because my body felt calm, I felt right. I feel quite, you know, as if everything's leveling out. And that actually made me feel calmer. So we really must look at that because today's fast lifestyle and fast foods as well, it's not really designed for helping us keep calm. A lot of things, and that's a whole other subject, you know. So I need to look at that first. So as I said, be aware of your triggers. Like, you know, when my children were young, especially my youngest, and it's actually him who's become a father. Oh goodness, he was the one who pushed all my buttons, you know. He was the youngest and he was the most spoiled. You know, he really knew and he used to run rings around me. And the trigger that I noticed with him was whenever he said the word mummy, my heart would sink. I could feel it must have shown on my face, you know, because I used to think, oh, what does he want now? Because it was always something with him, you know. And I used to think, oh, this is going to go down, you know, somewhere I don't want to go. So my trigger was him just saying mummy, which was not very good. And then one day he said mummy, and I must have shown on my face that, oh, you know, like I was fed up. And he was quite young, and he just looked at me and he said, well, mummy, I was just going to say I love you. And I thought, oh my goodness, this isn't good. You know, this is actually showing now. And I sat down with myself and I thought, okay, so, you know, you're already preempting now that this isn't going to be good. So I learned to rethink, you know, how I want to respond. And this is what we can do. We can't change other people's behaviors. It would be great if we could, but no one can. As much as we might think we can, you can't really change anyone's behavior. In fact, you may have tried it, you know, I've tried it. You try and tell somebody how things should be or how they should be, and it rarely works. And then that can cause me to feel even more frustrated. So I can't change others, but if I want to be able to remain calm, or if I have got heated to calm down, another thing I need to realize is that I have a choice. You have a choice. It isn't in the hands of the person who's pushing those buttons, and, you know, pushing those triggers. It actually is in your hands. Now, I know we're not used to thinking like that. You know, it's, we say, well, isn't it obvious? Because he said this or she said this, and that's why I'm upset and angry. Or if they didn't behave like this, everything would be fine. But no, he always behaves like this, or she always does the same thing again and again. or if it's people at work that you have to see every day. You know, that's a whole other thing, isn't it? It's a family, really, at work. And it's people you can't get away from, and you we spend lots of hours with them when we're at work. And so I may not be able to change them, but I can make a choice. Now, what's going to make me want to change? Now, we're saying, yes, I don't like getting angry. I don't want to be angry, but we keep getting angry. So I really need to sit down with myself and understand the reasons for why I do need to be able to be cool about things and situations. And there are very, very serious reasons for that. One we've talked about, which is the direct effect on my health, direct effect on your health straight away. And the other thing is the effect it has on my mind, the inability to feel stable, peaceful, secure, happy. All these things will be affected if I continue to be affected by other people's behavior. Because let's face it, that's what angers us really. And actually, we can get angry with ourselves as well. We can get very frustrated with ourselves as well. So that's another anger that I'm directly to myself. So for me, you know, when things were happening like that in my life, I had to sit down with myself, and I still do it. In fact, I did it today with somebody, and I thought, right, Neera, let's look at this. You know, you don't want to feel this way. So what can you do about it? You know what you can do about it. What should we do? And so I took on the responsibility myself. So when you take on the responsibility to change your perspective, and that's another thing here, I'm going to change the way I'm seeing this. Then you are taking control. And we know that when we feel in control of our life, then we're less likely to feel frustrated and less likely to get angry. And, you know, several times in my life, I've been confronted with very, very angry people in angry situations. It has happened to me. I have a very good friend, and she's the loveliest person on the planet. She'll do anything for anyone. But boy, does she, or did she, not so much now, had an anger problem. Huge. She lost so many good jobs because of her anger. And I don't know how many times I must have said to her, you know, I'd just be despondent, you know. And she'd just still totally blow her top about things. And one day what happened was, and why I'm giving you this example, because you can use it for yourself, is we were in the car and she wanted to nip into the shops, and I didn't drive at the time. And she said, oh, you know, just sit here. And I'm going to, I said, look, you're not parked. You're parked where you shouldn't be parked. Don't you think you should park the car up? And she said, oh, I'll be out in a minute. So sure enough, she goes in and traffic warden comes along and writes out a ticket. And of course, exactly at the same time, she comes out of the shop. And I was just horrified. I was thinking, oh, I can see this. Because she was red in the face. And she was having a right go, and it really kicked off. It wasn't good. And I think there was an altercation. Yeah, there was. So anyway, we drove off, and I just said to her, look, you know what? I think you need to go to the police station and tell them about what's happened. She said, no, no. I said, no, I think you should, because that wasn't right. So she did. And luckily she did, because she'd been reported and it was on camera. But she kept saying, oh, you know, I wish I didn't get so angry, but she did. But one day she got so angry with a passenger at the train station that she actually assaulted this person. And she's not like that, really. And then that was a big trouble for her. And of course, it was on CCTV. She got called in at work. And she must have had to view that CCTV at least 5 times. And that was the turning point for her. She came back to me and she said she was absolutely distraught. And she said, do you know what? I don't even remember behaving like that. She was that out of control. She said, I do not remember any of that. And that's what's frightening me now. And actually seeing myself on that CCTV CCTV behaving like that. I'm absolutely ashamed of myself. And I think that was the first time she realized, you know, just how confrontational her behavior was and how frightening it was to anyone on the receiving end of it. And I have been on the receiving end of it. But I decided consciously when it was happening that, okay, I'm just going to face this. And I remember once I just sat outside her door, bedroom door, and I said, I'm not moving until you come out and we talk about this. And she was saying, get lost, go away. So now I'm not going anywhere. I'm sitting here, let's talk about this. And so for me, it was about becoming courageous. And I needed that courage to face another person's anger. And as soon as I found that courage, it really made a big difference. So one thing is I need to develop the power to face whatever is the anger issue, whether it's someone else's or whether it's my own. And just like she was able to face it when she saw it on, you know, on a screen, that's a meditation practice that you can use. And that's one of the you know, suggestions I would say is, in the safety of meditating, you can actually reflect and look at yourself, or you can visualize the scenario, which may involve other people. But it's something that you need to do in a safe space and feel safe, and that you're now observing it, even if it means you're observing your own self. So you may observe your mannerisms, your behavior, you know, your body language, your physical language, just observe it all. And, you know, ask yourself, do I like what I'm seeing? Do I like being like this? And do I like what this other person is doing? So what can I do about it? And what you can do is tell yourself that I don't want this anymore. And it really is a question of you being very, very definite about that. You know, it has to be something you want with anything in life. If I may say, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to start running, or I'm going to eat more healthily, and then I don't stick to it. And the reason is because I'm not really definite about it. It isn't a I don't have the determination. It's a deep will inside. Determination is this kind of a silent willpower that you just have. And once you decide that, no, I want to put an end to this, you're likely to safeguard that new feeling. And so it's very, very important to sit honestly with yourself and say, you know, do I really want to stop being angry? Or do I really want to free myself from other people's onslaught? Now, I remember there was another situation. I had quite a few. I parked somewhere in early morning and it was dark, and I parked my car and I went in for a couple of hours and I came out, and this person where I had parked, it was raining heavily and it was a dipped curb, and there was no way I could see that there was a nice white line there, which meant no one can park outside his house. So I parked there thinking it was fine and gone in. And of course, when I came out, I mean, he must have been waiting for me literally by the window. And he came out absolutely furious. I mean, I think if I was a bloke, I think he might have hit me. That's literally how it felt. I was just about to get to my car, and the onslaught from this guy, that I can't, you see, I've had this, you know, line put down by the council, and my wife's ill, and what if I needed to take her to the hospital, you're blocking. And he was just on a rant completely. And honestly, I can tell you, nothing changed inside me at all. There wasn't anything. And I just looked at him really calmly. When I think about it now, I thought, how was I calm? I don't know. I just looked at him and I said, good morning. Like, exactly like that, with a smile on my face. And he just totally melted. It was like someone had taken the key out of his bag. And he just melted. I think he felt embarrassed that, Oh my goodness, isn't that what you say to somebody first? You know, good morning, and then say, look, what have you been doing? He just totally melted. And then he was apologetic and he said, look, you know, I've got an ill wife. And I said, yes, you know, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't see the line and it won't happen again. And it was almost like we were friends. And when I think about it now, years earlier, I could never have dealt with that. I would have been panicking. I would have been afraid. I certainly wouldn't have been compos mentis enough or articulate enough to say anything. And he probably would have kept going. But what changed for me, and I think the reason why I was able to respond in that way out of the blue, you know, no time to think about it, was definitely my practice of meditation. Because when I practice meditation, it's all about focusing on my inner being, focusing on the truth of who I am. And the truth is that innately, we are actually all cool, calm human beings. That's a natural state. And we know it's natural because we all want it. Who doesn't want peace? Everybody wants peace. Nobody likes being angry, and angry people don't like it. They just are. So when I began to practice feeling, you know, really experiencing that truth that I really am peace itself, I don't need anyone to make me peaceful. I can just sit and just enjoy being still and just enjoy that deep silence of my peace. And when you begin to experience that, what will happen is it will begin to become your reality, not just some idea or something that I do once a week as a hobby, but it will really begin to become you. And when you start to begin to feel that, then when you go about your daily life and then sudden challenges come or onslaughts like that out of the blue, you will automatically be in that place and then you will know how you want to deal with it. You'll automatically do it. It will happen automatically. But to get there, I need to give myself time and space to experience the absolute joy of your true inner being. And how many of us really know what our inner being is, or what am I actually on the inside? I don't know myself on the outside. But meditation, and the word meditation comes from the Latin word medere, which means to heal. So when we reflect inwardly on, you know, the perfection of who I am, then I'm a being of peace, a being of love, a being of joy, I begin to really experience that truth. And that begins to heal all the things that the world has done to me so far, and all the things that I have to deal with every day. And it really works. It really does work. I've got so many examples, and the only reason I'm sharing them is because they've happened to me, which is why I'm sharing them. We all know the wonderful Christmas, well, we didn't have it this year, but the wonderful Christmas parking rush and horns beeping when we're all running in at the last minute to get things for Christmas. And I was like that with other people. I thought I'd been waiting for a spot patiently for about 15 minutes. And when I went into it, this guy at the back shouting his head off from the car window. And he was so angry. So I've been waiting for that spot. Da, da, da. And I was fully in it, parked up. You know, I could have just ignored him and gone. And again, I just looked at him and I said, well, do you want me to move out? And it happened again. He was totally embarrassed. And he said, no, it's just Christmas, you know. I said, yeah, I know, we all get like that, don't we? And it really, really works. Because when you feel that calmness, and okay, so what? You want space, right? You know, give it to him. He didn't want it. He just totally felt, what am I doing? This woman's parked up and I'm going on at her like a child. So this is, you know, this is why it's worth investing your time and effort in meditation. Because another thing meditation does, it allows you to really get to know yourself. It allows you to see your weaknesses and your strengths. And when I can see my weaknesses and strengths without judging myself, I'm less likely to get angry with myself and less likely to get angry with other people. Because I'm just observing. learn to become a reserver. It's quite interesting. Instead of judging other people for their behaviors, just look at it and think, well, this is what it is. This is what it is. This is how they are. And you tend to see that there's a repetition in the way people behave, especially people you know closely. You know, like they always say this and they always react like this. Okay, fine. That is who they are. Who am I to say, you know, or to be righteous or have righteous anger about it? Why should I? Because remember now that every time my blood pressure goes up and my heart rate goes up and I begin to get knotted up, who is this anger really affecting? When I think I'm getting angry at someone or saying angry words, am I really hurting them? Is it really worth it? And the answer is no, because first and foremost, I've damaged myself. It isn't possible to get angry with someone and it not actually damage you. Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I want to control it. So that's a big reason to want to get over it. Not because, well, why should I let somebody else get away with things? You know, I have to let them know as it is and how it is. No. Think about your health. Think about your mental well-being. You know, tell yourself, is this how I want to be? Because it will affect you. It will affect you. So very, very important to understand that truth. And when you understand that, suddenly your peace and your calmness becomes like treasures for you. And why would you want to lose it for anyone or anything? I was another situation in my life. There was a major thing kicking off at home, and all my family descended in my house, and even my, you know, son, my older son, you know, who's almost like perfect child. Even he was saying, I don't think you should leave the house right now. And I had somewhere very, very important to go to. But for them, it wasn't important. What was important was you stay at home and we, you know, talk about this and we deal with it. And something deep inside of me, and again, I wasn't anxious. I should have been, because it was everybody against, not against me, but against my decision. Of course, it was out of love and care, but I knew in my heart that I have to leave right now. And I wasn't anxious about it. There was a time I would have been very, very anxious, very, very upset, and very, very confused. And I probably would have cried my eyes out. But there was like, there was just this very, very determined knowing that I know what I have to do. And I wasn't panicked. And I just calmly said to them, I'm going away. I'll be back in 2 hours and we will pick this up. And I left. And I didn't think about it. And sure enough, when I came back, problem was still there. I hadn't gone anywhere. But it was the right decision. And I was able to stick to it without any fear of, am I doing the right thing? You know, they're all going to be upset. And it wasn't a selfish decision. It didn't feel like, oh, well, I don't care. I'm off. It wasn't like that. It was different. It was just me knowing, I was very, very confident that this step I'm going to take is not going to harm the situation. It's not going to harm anyone. But I knew I had to do it, and I did, and it was the right thing. So that way, I didn't get upset. I was able to remain quite cool. And that's another thing, you know, a wonderful thing that happens for you is, as soon as someone is, you know, suddenly in your face or something's happening, like I remember the one school I worked in, there was one particular person who just had to know everything about everyone. And I had a practice, and I still have it. At lunchtime, I like to go to my car, you know, because if you're in the staff room, everybody's just talking about work, and I don't want to. I want to have my space. And have my lunch in peace and go back. So something I used to do. So in this particular nursery, it was a nursery then, I went off to my car and I kept doing this. And then when I came back, all I heard from the other room was a voice shouting, so where have you been then? Really loudly like that. And something that changes when you meditate, you don't react straight away. because normally it's like, oh, who was that? What was that? And you feel you have to give an answer. Now, I had heard her, but of course my back was to her and I was further away. And I chose not to turn around and I chose not to say anything. It was a decision very calmly I made. I thought, firstly, she's screaming across the room to my back. Hasn't said my name. I know it's to me. And so, do you know what? I'm not going to react. So when I learn not to react, then what I begin to do is respond. And that's very different. When you react, you're not in control. It's knee-jerk. He said this, well, obviously I did that or said this. Knee-jerk reaction, no control. But when you're choosing, as I said, when you make a choice, you take your own time and then you respond. So I took my own time and responded. And it's a skill. You get to practice it. And of course, you're going to have lots of chances to practice it in life because there are always people out there who are going to present you with the opportunity to practice how to respond and not react. Try it next time. Try it with, people who usually get under your skin and make you very, very reactive. Yeah. Just try it. Just stop. Take a deep breath. Be very still. And what I tend to do is I just absolutely center myself. Centering is very important. And how we center ourselves is I just take my way. I just almost retreat like a tortoise would retreat into its shell, not out of fear, but for protection. So when you get the practice of, okay, I'm going to just stand back from this, whatever's happening right now, I'm just going to be still. Stillness is amazing. If you're when you're still and calm, your body language, the vibration that's coming from you is calm. It's calming. And it will actually help people, the other person also, to slow down a bit. I do it purposely. When I work with people who are very, very fast or very, very, too quick, about things, I purposely just like multiply that and slow myself down inside. It's almost like, okay, I need to slow down because the situation around me is too speedy and I don't go at that speed. Doesn't mean you don't physically work speed. In fact, when you learn to be still inside, you can actually work quite fast, but actually very, what's the word? Accurately, and efficiently, that's the word. So you can become quite efficient, but you can be very still inside. Yeah. There's that saying, isn't there? What is it? Less haste, more speed, or something like that. And when I'm too hasty, I'm likely not to be efficient. But if I'm calm, centered, then I relate to a task or I relate to something which needs to be done. Do it in a calm way, and so therefore, I'm able to respond in a calm way as well. So, those are some of the things. Look at your diet, look at your sleep, learn to reflect, learn to enjoy being still and silent. Silence is a fantastic thing for keeping you cool. Now, we don't know much about silence. You tend to think, well, that's a bit scary, Who wants to be silent? And we're used to filling our day with sound. We think if I don't have sound, I have to be speaking to somebody, I have to be watching something, all about happening. Even now in lockdown, what's everybody talking about? I can't wait to get away. I can't wait to do something. And I'm thinking, do you know what? I don't really know if that would make a difference because everything's in your own head. You can actually enjoy being free just in stillness and being with yourself. And sometimes when it's really still, I love it. I can actually hear the birds in the evening, I can hear them in the morning. And silence can become very sweet. And sweet silence is where you begin to become very, very calm. Everything, physically, your cortisol levels come down. Because we know when cortisol levels are high, that's not good in the body. That's there for stress. But your cortisol levels will come down and you will naturally feel well. And of course, it's like chicken in the egg argument. You know, if your body feels well, your mind feels well. Your mind feels well, your body's likely to follow. They need to look after both. So treasure your peace. Give yourself time to find it and then treasure it. You know, if you, it's like earning money. If you've worked hard to earn your money, yeah, and you've saved hard for a particular thing, and someone knocks on the door and says, oh, you mind if you just give me all your money? You just, you know, say politely, no, sorry, I can't just give it away. Or if somebody came with a bin and said, chuck it all in the bin, you wouldn't do it. It's crazy. So therefore, think about it. Why would I not want to protect a commodity so valuable for myself and for others, which is the commodity of peace? And when you become peaceful, you naturally become compassionate. You know, if you're angry and irritated, well, I haven't got time to be compassionate for anyone. I've got my own problems, right? Well, I can't be bothered with them. You know, I've got things going on with myself. But when I've sorted out my own pain, well, then I can understand other people's pain. And I can be compassionate that, you know, what can I do to help? I mean, just the other day, you know, I could really feel just the absolute sorrow and anguish of something that's happening in their lives. And after, you know, speaking to them, and I was just by myself, just thinking, you know, what can I do? And I realized the most precious thing I can do for them is to link in with that peace and serenity. Just wish that on them, wish it to them, you know, let them feel it. And in fact, today when I phoned them, they were very upbeat. They were very, very different. They were feeling differently. So it's not a selfish thing to want to be peaceful and want to be calm just because it benefits you. No, it's a double-sided thing. It's great, it benefits you, and it should benefit you, because I'm responsible firstly and foremostly for myself. I have a duty of care to myself, yeah? But the knock-on thing is that it is going to impact others that I'm around, without a doubt. Because as you are, that's the vibration you carry wherever you go, yeah? And other people are going to feel it, good or bad. So it's a duty of care for the world, really, especially today. Absolutely, we need it. Okay, so let's just sit together and just have a very simple practice. For some of you, this might be something you do anyway, or it might be new, but it doesn't matter. So let's just sit comfortably, take a deep breath in and release through the mouth, especially relaxing your shoulders and your back. You can rest your eyes gently somewhere in front of you, or if you wish to close them, you can. But most importantly, I want you to take this time for yourself and tell yourself that you are valuable, you are precious, and you have a right to experience peace. Affirm to yourself, I am a being of peace. Peace is my true nature. And no one can take it away from me. I choose to let it go. And so I can choose to keep it. I can make myself free from anxiety and anger, because I don't judge anyone anymore. I choose to forgive. I choose to let go. And I wish everyone well. No one can take my peace away. I free myself from becoming affected and reactive. I let it all go. Okay, so let's just come back. I don't know about you, but just a few words like that made me feel good. And if you can just practice that, you know, even first time when you wake up, smile at yourself and tell yourself at the end of the day that no matter what's happened, I'm going to come back to my peace and I'm going to brush off the day and I'm not going to carry anyone in my mind. I don't want the burden and I'll wish everybody well and just remain free like a flying bird. Thank you.
Thank you, Mira. Gosh, that was really lovely and insightful. There's a few questions that have come in already, so let me bounce them on you, if I may. The first one came in quite early into your talk, and they're asking, when we're forced to do something by the government, how do you stop getting angry about this?
Yeah, very, very contemporary question. And certainly I've been in that position, you know, like you could say we're being forced to go to work. There isn't really any social distancing, even now with a small amount of children. And I know one person who started with me, lovely lady, she just started and she couldn't continue because she was so afraid of, you know, what was going to happen. And you know what I do when I feel, in a sense, forced, because, you know, it is my job. And you kind of think, well, if I don't go and others are going. So there was an aspect when I felt forced, but I also felt protected. And I felt protected by my own positive attitude. So I went in with, well, okay, in a sense, I am forced to do this. I don't have a choice not to. But I'm going to protect myself as much as I can physically, but also mentally, you know, because feeling positive about yourself can also protect you as well, even when you're forced into situations. It's as though you can still have some control in that situation, if you see what I mean.
Thank you. The second question. The person is saying, I feel angry at myself sometimes as I've picked the wrong partners and now I'm at an age where I'm single and don't feel I'll meet my significant partner or have a child. So there is this inner anger that exists.
Yeah, sure. Is this an anger towards yourself for making
yes.
that decision? Right.
Yeah.
You know what? There comes a time, and I've certainly had to do that for myself, because I've made some interesting decisions in my life. I wish I hadn't. But through the power of self-awareness, develop self-love and self-forgiveness. And that's very, very important. It may take you time, but you need to keep doing it. You need to sit with yourself. And I did it many, many times. And one day I just had an aha moment, literally, and I hope it happens for you. All of a sudden, it was like something lifted and I suddenly got it that, oh my goodness, why are you, punishing yourself like this? Because suddenly I realized that with the information I had at the time and with what I could do at the time, I did my best. And that's true. At the time of your decision, that time, that was right. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. So you know what? You need to forgive yourself and say, that happened then. This is me now. Let me move on from here. So don't become too anxious about, you know, whether you'll find someone again or whether you'll have a child. But just honor finding yourself. Really invest in being kind to yourself and knowing yourself, because when you do that, whatever's going to happen is going to be good after, and you're going to feel good about it. Yeah. So really, really give yourself time to forgive yourself and love yourself and know yourself, and the future will take care of itself.
Thank you. Next question. How do you let go of past hurt that still brings feelings of anger? The person I feel angry towards is still in my life, and sometimes it's hard to see past this.
Yeah. Again, I can resonate with that. I've had one or two people in my life like that. And if anyone had ever said to me that today I would literally not feel any resentment. I wouldn't have believed it myself because the pain that was caused was significant, and anyone would say that. And I think all I can say to you is that why am I not feeling it now, whereas I felt it for a long, long time? It's a bit like a weighing scale, you know. On one side, I may have accumulated many sorrows, many hurts, and things I haven't been able to be in control of. And the only way that is going to change is if I start to put in the other side and I start to accumulate happiness, joy, feeling good about myself, maybe take up a new hobby, start something new. And so you'll see the balance will begin to shift. Because I can't actually get rid of what's in the past that's happened. Yeah, that will stay. But whether something feels heavy or light is relative. It weighs the same. Yeah, the pain weighs the same. But if you start to put in the other side, you start to accumulate things which are giving you meaning and joy and happiness, new things. That same thing, which previously was weighing you down and causing you sorrow presently, that will begin to feel very light. As they say, time is a healer, but it's not just time. I have to actively start to create a positive new story. And then you'll start to look at that and think, oh, that seems like a million miles away now. And okay, I can forget it. It really will happen. But I need to start accumulating, you can say, in an account of positive stuff.
What one tip can you give to someone who can't control the angry words that flow out of their mouth but feels bad afterwards? Is there a way of stopping the angry words from flowing out of your mouth?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And again, it's the issue that my friend had for a long time. I think this is a very deep thing because words are the final thing, aren't they? The words are really the end result of what's going on in my mind. So I would say invest time in rethinking what you're feeling. So you need to create a different dialogue. So if the dialogue was, you know, this person really gets on my nerves or I'm going to get my own back, you now have to create a new dialogue in your mind through meditation, which is, I see them, and I see them as a valid person. I understand this is their personality. I see them and I forgive them and I let them go. And I separate myself from this, you know, this situation. And once you start thinking differently, it is actually going to affect now what's going to come out of your mouth. Because the mouth is just the final thing, but it's what's going on in my head. So I need to start addressing that.
Thank you. The next question is, starts with a statement. You've got me very emotional at the moment as I reflect on the frustrations that I've taken out on others around me. How do you deal with anger from bereavement when someone has already passed due to COVID?
Yeah. I mean, it just seems at the moment that it's just a huge injustice that's happening. And really, this is a whole deep subject of understanding. It really is a whole deep subject to understand why things happen. Why have some passed away? Why are others fine? And, you know, interestingly, this question, this actually came up in my meditation, you know, as you're asking. As I was sitting yesterday, just feeling for these people who were really suffering yesterday, these words came up that, you know, is karma cruel or is karma kind? And really when I realized that whatever happens in life has happened for a reason, it's all meant to be. You know, we all have our own journey and we can't really know someone else's journey. They know it. And whatever happens in our life, we also have the capacity to deal with it. We do have it. We have to find that strength. And often you may hear that the people say, I don't know where I got the strength from. I don't think I ever could have dealt with it. It's just when we're looking at someone else, we're looking at it from our own perspective, but it's not happening to me, it's happening to someone else. But like I said, this is a deep subject, especially of bereavement, because it just depends on your understanding of the spirit and the soul and what happens after. Now, for me personally, I very much resonate with with science, which says that matter can never be created and can never be destroyed. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. And I understand myself to be a being of spiritual energy, therefore I cannot be destroyed. So when someone passes over out of my vision, they're not destroyed. They live. And so that's a comfort for me to know that. And we each have our own story, you know, and we have to live it. It's what life is. But I think to not take sorrow from bereavement is to focus on the joy of that life. Focus on the good things that you remember about them. And if you feel you've wronged them, then you know what? They're not dead. You can actually physically, almost physically, tangibly, through your thinking, you can send them the feelings of, you know, if you need to be forgiven, you can say that, you know, and you can send them love, you can send them good wishes. It can still be received. So it's not all ended because they've gone. You need to release yourself. This is the important thing. You cannot stay in that pain because then you are keeping yourself in that pain. And also they're not receiving any joy from your thoughts. So I need to do it for myself and for them.
Next question. How do you deal with children's misbehavior if it's consistent or constant and you begin to get frustrated? You try different methods, even try being quiet. All it does is get them to misbehave even more.
Yeah, well, I've had four children and they've been like chalk and cheese, not one like the other. And I've learned very, it's very humbling having children. They teach you, it's like a mirror to yourself. And I realized very quickly that what worked with one didn't work with another. So some with one, I needed to be a bit stricter. With another, I needed to be a bit more gentle. But what really has worked is, you know, children pick up very subliminally. Children learn subliminally what needs to be learned. It's not by me always telling them do this or don't that, but they pick up the vibration from you or your partner. And what's happening at home. So I need to create as calm an atmosphere as possible. I mean, I remember years back, you know, I had this habit that when I spoke to my eldest child, he was only about four, but if I wanted him to come and do something, I would say it in a very calm tone. And my sister-in-law was always shouting at her son. And she even said once, she said, I don't know, you just say it quietly and he does it, and I'm screaming my head off and he doesn't do it. But keeping one tone and being consistent. Consistency is very important. You know, my youngest used to, like I said, he loved throwing tantrums. And then when I learned meditation, I thought, well, I'm just going to be consistent and calm. And he could just tell by the way I was that, oh, it's not going to work. But it can take time to build that up. Of course, you need to discipline them. You still need to say what's what. But being calm, not getting angry, and not giving in to them will work. It will work. If it doesn't, of course, working in school, I'm also doing courses on ADHD and, you know, other, there can be other underlying reasons for behavior. So, you know, if you feel you need to take help about that, then look into that as well, because you just don't really know. You know, we're not trained really as parents. There could be underlying reasons for behavior which you feel, you know, doesn't seem right. You need to look at it all.
Thank you. Next question. Maybe you have suggestions on how to manage feelings of frustration and anger towards someone, in my case, it's the landlady, who keeps saying they'll get back to you by the end of the week about getting repairs done, but then doesn't. And this is consistent nearly every time. In the past, I've ended up chasing her, and often she won't respond at all. For one period, it was like 2 months. Or she comes back with an excuse, etc. It's extremely irritating. Any suggestions?
Well, this definitely isn't just a meditated away problem. Meditation doesn't make you away with the fairies. It actually makes you very practical. Now, this is a practical thing. So what you need to do, I would suggest that you actually go and get help. Maybe go to Citizens Advice or find out what your rights are. Come back with that to this person and actually get it physically sorted. The difference is, one way is where I can be irritated and going about my business sorting it out, or I can be very together and do it. Still going to get done. But again, it comes back to how am I feeling about it. Don't blame the landlady. That's her habit. That's the way she is. I've changed it now. But what do I need to do? So I set about doing it. That's it. You're just totally calm. This is what I'm going to do. And these are the steps I'm going to take. So you're very practical, not emotional. Because when we're emotional, then I may say or do something or which I'll regret or be threatening. But no. This is the issue. This is what needs to be done. Just do it, and you can still be very sweet with them and have lots of love, but present them with what the law says. And then they'll probably have to look at it if you've actually gone and got advice.
Okay, this one. My mother, and in some cases, people's fathers, trigger me. They have a lot of expectations, and I tense up even before I answer a call to them. I feel trapped. Do you have any suggestions on how to deal with the triggers, the worry, and the problems that come from that headspace?
Thank you for this question. I mean, really, I don't know all the details about, for example, how old you are. Do you live with your parents? Are you married? Are you not married? All these have, a different how we feel at different stages in our life. Certainly, if you're still dependent on your parents, then yes, we can feel trapped. However, if your situation is that you're independent, that you don't live with them, but you're still feeling trapped, or if you're also financially independent, or you have your whole life as well, then again, as I said before, this is something that's in your hands now. You can empower yourself. You can take away the power that they have over you to me, which is making you feel like that, you think that. But if you now say, no, I choose now about how I want to feel, I am making this decision for myself. And one of the things about controlling anger is learning how to be assertive, which means I can state my point calmly, coolly, in one sort of level, without becoming emotional. I just say it as it is. I'm not judging anyone, I'm just stating it. If you can change from, feeling pent up and anxious by just saying, this is how I feel. I do not want to feel like this anymore, and I will, not allow it. They'll probably sit up and think, my goodness, that's you being really assertive. So that's something to learn as well. But again, it's something you need to sit with yourself and say, am I determined enough? Is this what I want? And it doesn't have to boil down to accusations. Managing anger, overcoming anger, is you don't have to blame them. Just accept them for who they are and what they are. But now accept how you are and what you want, and respect it. When you respect yourself deeply about what you want, then they're going to feel that sense of respect that you have for yourself. You're not going to be angry, you're not going to be emotional, you're not going to blame. This is how it is. And then the ball is in their court. This is how you are. This is what you want. The decision now lies with them. Yeah. So you need to separate yourself a little bit from that.
Thank you. Can you give us any steps to center ourselves when we're in the middle of an when we're in the midst of anger and injustice?
Yeah, there's something I'm sure you can learn, you know, through meditation. I learned it with the BKs. And if, like I said, firstly is to practice when you have quiet space and time when nothing's happening, so that you build up that experience of feeling centered and totally together. And then when the situation is there, something that I feel now automatically, wasn't automatic straight away, but now I just feel a sense of self-respect. You know, whatever anyone's saying, whatever they're accusing me of, whatever's happening, I know my integrity. And that's something you need to build up, sense of self-worth and self-respect. As soon as you feel that self-respect, then I just remind myself, okay, I'm not this physical body. I'm just seeing what's happening through these eyes, but I'm not taking it in. I'm just observing it. And it's also about giving them respect, allowing other people to be the way they are, without judging them. That's them. This is me. I tend to focus on my forehead. You know, I just like to sit and just be a little light and just looking, not judging, nothing. And often you'll feel that they'll feel that energy from you, that then they're not getting, you know, fear from you. Then they're not seeing emotion. They're not feeling it. It will help to dissipate their anger as well, because it's not bouncing off anything. That's why it's really important to be able to just come still, take a breath, go inside, just accept, just watch, and then choose your time to respond. Just let them do it, you know, stand outside of it. And that's very powerful.
Thank you. Here we go. What do you do if you stay calm? On the outside, you're calm, but internally, there's still anger and you're suppressing it, and you have been over years.
Yeah. Well, at least that's one step, that externally you're keeping it together. However, and if you look at the overcoming anger course we do, that's a very dangerous type of anger, because that's called passive anger, where I'm not expressing, you know, the person who bangs doors and everything, all right, so it's out, but it's not ideal. However, if I am still angry inside, that's where it can really damage your health badly, your nervous system. So again, if I want to really not feel it once again, inner reflection, spiritual awareness, you know, really beginning to feel secure in your skin, valuing yourself, your life, then that begins to color how you feel about situations. And then you're, like I said, you know, when that guy came out all of a sudden, it was in my face, my whole family, I really was fine inside, and because I wasn't blaming them, I was secure in knowing who I was and what I was doing. And then that is how you will begin to be able to actually feel it. But I need to invest time in being with myself and finding myself. And that's the strength that will work for you when you need it.
Thank you. Just a couple more questions, I think. So be quick, I think. How can I stop being angry with my partner who cheated on me?
Yeah, that's a big one. Again, I would say it's the same things. Straight away, it's not going to happen. Of course, you know, you're going to feel angry and hurt and betrayed. And accept that. Don't fight it. Accept it. Accept this is what has happened. This is how I feel. And then the next step is, now I want to release myself from this feeling. We have some wonderful, I'm sure, you know, Aarti Ben, you can guide everyone, but we have some wonderful guided meditations, and I've used them a lot, and not just for myself but for others. And each time I do them, there are meditations on forgiveness, letting go, the beautiful meditations. And the more you do them, they're so powerful visually, that you'll begin, first it'll be painful, and then each time you're letting go a bit more, until finally you really feel, I have really let go. So I would suggest that practice some of these meditations on healing and forgiveness and letting go.
Yep, if you're anybody's interested, do drop us a line and we'll be able to help you get those meditations. So thank you, Mira, on that one. Final question, I think. If you have a young child that is angry about not having their father in their life, the father isn't very good at communicating or answering the child's calls, how do you help the child?
Yeah, again, another very sensitive, you know, situation. Again, I don't know the age of your child. It's a very, very young child. Then all you can do is just be positive with them, with your love and support. If it's an older child, and of course we know as they start to get into teenagers, as I know, it's a tricky age anyway. But all you can do is give the love and support from your side. But one thing I've seen is don't blame their father. You know, one, I've seen sometimes parents get into this thing where, oh, your mother's like this and your father's like that. Don't do that. Honor that's them, this is you, and just have an equal vision of love and support for, you know, the father of your child. But give everything you can to your child. And it's a hard one because I know it's been painful for me sometimes where I can see that, you know, I don't think this is a good move. And yet I've learned now that I need to just accept that they have to make their decisions. They have to discover their way through things. But the important thing is to always be there for them when they need support. To always be that pillar of support and love and security. And that's all you can do. And in fact, that's the biggest thing you can do. It's a very, very lovely feeling to know that no matter what my child experiences or has to go through, I am here without judgment. And they're going to feel that. And that in itself will become everything for them to have that.
Wow. Mira, thank you so much, not only for sharing honestly and openly from your own personal experience, but all the things that you've learned that are tools that we can take into our lives. So thank you very, very much. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.